You have your Bibles, would turn with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 34. It will be for your reading on the screen. I am much disturbed when I talk with ministers around the country, the Church of God, not other churches, but Church of God. And I watched through some of the discussions on some of the internet that I'm beginning to wonder where we're headed. We don't have enough sense to understand history. The early church, the Holy Ghost was outpoured, and for a little over 100 years, God was moving, the church was growing, things were doing good, and then men decided they could do it better. And all of a sudden, everything went dark for a while. You had smatterings of moves of God for years, and then all of a sudden, there's an outpouring in Eastern Europe, or Western Europe, rather, and it begins to move. It starts a little revival in Wales, and God moves, and hundreds of thousands of people come to God and become Pentecostal. It moves into the United States. We see God moving in a group of people that we now call dead and dry. And I'm not knocking anybody, so don't run out here saying the preacher is knocking the denomination, but the first of the modern-day Pentecostals that go by the wayside were Baptists. And notice I said they were Pentecostal. Their history is Pentecostal. There's a reason early Baptist America called Quakers and Shakers, and it wasn't because they sat in a pew and looked at folks. They started looking for a better way. 100 or so years into their being, they started figuring there's a better way to do this, and next thing you know, there's no longer a move of the Spirit in the churches because they don't need that anymore. We got programs and we've got all these other things to take the place of the move of God. In a little place called St. Simon's Island, Georgia, two men from England come and start a group of people in America called Methodists, John Charles Wesley. They preach Pentecost. The second group to go by the wayside is the Methodist Church. They got educated and realized that it was just beneath them to allow God to move now. Some of their churches have come back to it, just as some of the Baptists have come back to the realities of the Pentecostal movement. And God is moving in the churches. And God's ministering. But we in the Church of God passed our 100-year anniversary, and all of a sudden the fastest growing denomination in the world decided we need to find a better way to do this. And we begin to get educated. Church, I don't have a problem with education, but if we get so smart we know more than this book, we've messed up. And when we get to the place where we think we can program God into our lives instead of having an outpouring and a touch of His glory, we've messed up. And what we need in the church world is a fresh falling of the presence of God. We need an impacting of the power of God. I'll be honest with you, church, just a little song and dance ain't going to get it anymore. We've got people that said, oh, yeah, if we could just get a good stir in. I don't need an emotional stir. I don't need somebody to dance an aisle unless God's in it. I need a move of God. I need God to fall. Listen to what happened on this day while Peter was preaching. The Bible said, and Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person. This bore out of a time of prayer when he was on a housetop believing Jews were the only one. And God gave him a lesson. And he reached down with a pig, said, eat it. And he said, I can't, that's unclean. He said, if I say it's clean, you don't call it unclean. And he began to realize there was a difference in what God was trying to tell him, what he believed. And suddenly he began to look up and he said, God is no respecter person, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. For the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we were witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Who they slew and they hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all people but unto witnesses chosen before God. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through the name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. I'm just going to stop there. I had some other stuff that I was going to read, but I'm going to stop there. Because I want to project to you something, and I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight on fall on us. I think that's what we need. What happened at Cornelius' house, we need to have happen in the house of God. We need God to come down and to touch and to move on us. Amen. While Peter spake the word, the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, fell on them, and they heard the word. Amen. We look at that word that said it fell on them, and we realize that the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. First of all, it tells us that what was happening is the work of the Holy Spirit. It tells me the Holy Ghost was the initiator. You hear what I'm telling you? It doesn't say they jumped and grabbed it. It doesn't say they caught it. He doesn't say it. It said God was the initiator, because it is God who wants to bless us. It is God who wants to fall in our lives and saturate us with his anointing. It is not something we catch. I remember years ago in revival, a little boy came up to me. He's 8 years old. I won't tell you his name because he pastored a pretty good-sized church in Alabama now. But he grabbed my britches leg and he said, "Bro, Truth, I caught the Holy Ghost a while ago." Now, I know he was just being sincere as a kid that got filled with the Holy Ghost, but I thought that was funny, because we have some people that think you've got to chase God around and catch him to get something. But can I tell you, ever since God come down from that cross and walked out of that grave, he's been following you, and he's coming with an anointing. He said, "I pray the Father, he sent another comforter, and that comforter has come down, and God wants to fall on us with a fresh anointing of fire and power and glory." Could you say amen? The Holy Ghost came in an undeniable, indisputable manner. It was tangible, heavy manifestation of the power of God that hit those people. They were visibly and physically affected. I don't understand people said, "Oh, I felt power of the Holy Ghost." Hello? That bothers me when I see these guys on TV supposed to got healed. They stand up there, "What happened?" "I got healed." Honey, if you really get healed, you get excited about it. There's something affects you because something just happened that ain't normal. Come on, church. Amen. Notice what it said. If you read scripture, this is not the only time things like that happen. In 1 Chronicles 21:26, David built an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar and the burnt offering. So all of a sudden, David's praying. He's got an altar up there. He's ready to give a sacrifice, and God answered with fire. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Hello? They're getting ready for the temple to be opened up, and all of a sudden Solomon's praying. He's saying, "God, we want your presence. We want your anointing. We want you to come dwell in this house we built for you." And all of a sudden the Bible said when he made an end of praying, the Holy Ghost fell, and it came down, and there was something unique happened. It consumed the sacrifice, filled the house with the glory of God, and everybody there knew something had took place. I want to tell you, church, that's what we need today. We don't need to come to church and leave like we came. We need to come saying, "God, one more time, fall on us, shake us, let us feel something that makes us different when we leave the house of God." They were there undeniably, undisputably, irrefutably, visibly, tangibly moved on by the power of God. Then you find Elijah on the mountain. I preach this so many ways it ain't funny, but the truth of the matter is, one of the greatest stories of the power of God coming down. This doctors, the doctors of Baal said, "Wait a minute, our God's God. Elijah ain't done it." They've been tearing down altars in Jerusalem. They've been worshiping, getting people to switch their allegiance. Can I tell you, that's what's happening in America? People are looking for something so bad, they're chasing God everywhere. Come on, church. We got good Christian people trying to get a message, and they're running from one place to the next, trying to find somebody to lay hands on them so they can feel something. And not all of it's going to be God. Come on, church. But the reality is, Elijah challenged him. He said, okay, I tell you what, dude, let's just pray to our God. We'll build an altar. You don't light it. Just call on your God, and if he can burn up that sacrifice, we'll call him God. If he don't, then we'll give me a chance. If my God does it, we'll call my God God. Y'all know the story. They got out there and built their altar. And they did their thing, which meant they cut themselves and danced around. I'm going to make some of you mad. This is actually how they did it. They stuck all kind of pierces through their lips and tongues and eyebrows and trying to find favor with Baal. Come on, church, not yet. I can prove that with historical fact. I'm not just preaching it because we got people doing it. That started in pagan religion. They're trying to find favor with their God, and they're dancing around, hurting themselves, doing all this stuff. And Elijah's sitting on the side of the hill mocking them. Maybe y'all need to pray louder. Maybe your God's asleep. I got scriptures that mine never sleeps. He never even slumbers. Maybe he's turned aside. Maybe he's busy doing something else. Ain't got time for y'all. Hello? They finally give up, say, well, it's over. And I said, no, it's my turn. Come on, church. He tears down their altar because whatever they were offering to Baal wasn't sufficient for God. He repairs the altar, and he turned and told some guys, said, y'all need to dig a trench around this thing. And they said, why? He said, well, just do it. He's over there building the altar, and he gets the wood like it's supposed to be, and he puts the sacrifice like it's supposed to be. And if you ever get a chance to go to Israel, if you don't get to go any other time, during the millennial, just go over there. It's beautiful. Somebody said, during the millennial? That's another teaching for another day. But during that time, you can travel by an airplane. You can just think about it, and you can be right there on that mountain. Glory. Oh, that's going to be awesome. But you see, you got to go down that mountain to get to this lake of Gennesaret. And since there's not a whole lot of water right now, he had to send people down that mountain with 12 barrels to bring them back up, and they poured them on the sacrifice. And, I mean, it covered the sacrifice, and I can see the prophet said, this guy's crazy. Stuff wasn't going to burn without water. It definitely ain't going to burn with water. 60-something words later, fire has consumed everything there, including it. The Bible said it lapped up the water that was in the ditch. Amen. And all of a sudden, the ground's smoking, and there's nothing left. And the people run and help Elijah kill the prophets of Baal. And they're crying, there is no other God than the Lord God. He is the God. The Lord God, he is the God. Church, that's what the world needs. They need to see a move of God that lets them know for sure God is God. Glory. We need to have some more of those experiences where you look at somebody and say, now that's God. Hello? Without a doubt, it was God. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need to get back to that place where we have a real God encounter. Hello? The people saw God move. They saw God doing things. Listen, God doesn't move for our benefit. We're supposed to believe. And he said, blessed are they that believe that have not yet seen. But God does miracles for people who have not believed yet. And we need miracles for our loved ones that aren't saved. We need miracles for our families that need to be finding God. We need miracles in our lives for the world to know there is a God that can change their life, can do something to them. Come on, church. We need God encounters that will change us. The fire of God, the power of God fell on that mountain and consumed everything there. My mind then goes to Acts chapter 2. And when they were in Pentecost, was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. There's a move on the church of God to take out of our teaching that the speaking in other tongues is initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now, church, I'm a 40-year Pentecostal preacher. I'm not Pentecostal because I've been all my life in the church of God. I got a heritage in the church of God. My grandmama's crazy as anybody. Hello? Mamie was probably crazier than most. I have a video of my grandmother in her 60s riding a tricycle. And y'all want to know where I get my stuff from. It's inherited. But she was Pentecostal to the core. She was raised in the Church of God. My grandfather was one of the first people to ever join the Church of God in the state of Alabama. My great-grandfather built the first building the Church of God ever had church in. But I wasn't raised Pentecostal. I was raised by a backslid Methodist preacher and a backslid Church of God member. I didn't go to Pentecost. The first time I went, I got saved. And I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I didn't know anything about the power of God. But one night at the Cody Church of God, I got impacted by the power and the grace of God. And God fell on me. And something changed in my life, and bondage was broken, and I was set free. And ever since that night, I've been Pentecostal from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Oh! The fire of God that fell that day. It fell on David's altar and burned it. It fell at the Solomon's offering and his sacrifice was taken. It fell in the power of God that came down at Mount Carmel. It fell in Pentecost in the upper room. And that same power fell at Cornelius' house, because Peter said that same power that fell on us fell on them while I was yet preaching. Could you? Oh, come on, church. See, some of y'all ain't as excited about this as I am. In every case, the Old and New Testament, there was a visible, tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God. What really concerns me today is we're raising up a generation of the Church of God's never really seen a move of God. They've been told about it. We've talked about it. But we need people to see it. And for that to happen, some of us has got to get out of our starch. Come on, church. Well, Pastor, I don't act that way anymore. That's the ones I'm praying for. I'm talking about a move of God that changes your way of thinking, that just totally turns your life upside down, that's inexplainable. Listen, I had a guy, a friend of mine was pastoring in the Montgomery area, and a big revival was going on down in Brownsville. And y'all may not know this, but during the Brownsville revival, Monday night and Tuesday night, the night speaker, Steve Hill, the pastor, they would go around to places and put on seminars. They would have church. I remember going to Cleveland, Tennessee, and man, we had a knockdown drag out in Tennessee. Glory. Amen. There were so many people in North Cleveland, they had to raise the windows because folks were sitting outside, and the Holy Ghost fell, and people in the lawn went out. Glory. If y'all ever got to go to Brownsville, you may remember they had a tent outside, and there was as many people going out in the spirit in the tents as there was inside the building. And they came to Montgomery, and this guy had a man in his church, a doctorate of psychology. He didn't believe in all this hooey that went on in a church service. And he told the pastor, he said, I've watched it. I've tried it. It did nothing for me. Well, he didn't do nothing because he really didn't want nothing to happen. It had messed up his theology. Hello? I mean, people would pray for him. He'd just stand there, roll his eyes back in his head. I know I prayed for him. Nothing ever happened. They're sitting at a Waffle House going to church, and, you know, they're Pentecostal, so they were eating on the way to church. If we don't eat on the way, we're eating on the way home, or sometimes us just do both. Glory. But this guy was sitting there, and the pastor looked at him, and he said, I just wish God would do this to you. And that guy looked at him, he said, I'd give anything if that happened, Pastor. If it happened so fast I couldn't figure it out, I might finally believe in it. They got to church. And there was a prayer line going on. He's in the prayer line. The evangelist walks up to him. He says, sir, I got to ask you a question. It really seems stupid, but does this mean anything to you? Pastor said, next thing I know, he's going down now. And said he hit the floor, said, we toted him home, and he didn't come to till we got back to the church, and we was afraid to let him drive home. He's so messed up. Glory. I want to tell you something. If you go down there now and find that guy, he's wild in church because something changed that night. Something snapped in him, and now he's ready to go. He don't want just anything. He wants God to fall on him and touch him in church. That's what we need in the house of the Lord today. Could you say amen? See, we need God to move. The Holy Ghost to come down, the third person of the Godhead, to impact our lives. The same fire that fell on Mount Carmel, the same fire that fell at Pentecost, the same fire that fell at Cornelius' house. The fire of God that's real, that's tangible, it's alive, it's contagious. Preach a revival at a church in Fayette, Trinity Church of God. Man started a church. He had a douche mixture of folks. They wasn't a Pentecostal and the whole bunch but him. His own wife was Church of Christ. But they had a church. They was Methodist, Baptist, heathen. One of the best tithe prayers wasn't even saved. He gave $100,000 start the building. They got the building up, didn't have any sheetrock up. But he called me and said, let's have a revival. I said, okay. He said, now, it ain't going to be easy. I said, okay. God's my witness. I got there. I preached the first two nights, and I walked by that pastor, and I said, dude, this place is dead. He said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. I said, you need a resurrection. He said, that's what you're here for. Now, resurrect. Glory. Amen. I found two young men in that church. They're both still friends of mine. One of them was a young man by the name of Dennis Pinyon. The other was a young man by the name of Junior Eason. And we started meeting before church and praying that God would move in that church and God would touch that church. They were both hungry for God just to touch them. And I'll never forget the next night, Junior got filled with the Holy Ghost. The next thing you know, Dennis got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the people praying for him didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Just praying for them to get the Holy Ghost. By the end of the week, 24 people have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that church now is set on fire with the power of God. It happened because in that building with no sheetrock, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And something happened to change their lives, turned them upside down through the power of God. And I tell you, church, that's what we need in Alabaster. Say, God, fall on me with the presence, the power, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Oh, God, do it again. Let the fire fall. We don't want to be just satisfied with an experience. We want to move with God. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon me. And you shall tear in Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. Power is not a theory or a concept. It's not some program that we try to program people into, try to talk them into. I've seen preachers try to teach it to folks. Years ago, we was at camp meeting. Brother Dennis Boggs had just came into state and evangelist, and we were praying for a guy. And Brother Dennis was just trying to help the guy. He said, sir, I believe you just concentrate on God. God will feel you. Well, Brother Dennis started to walk off, pray for somebody else, and this guy grabbed him and spun him around. You had to know Dennis. He wasn't about 5 foot five. And that guy grabbed him. This guy's about 6'6", and it kind of scared Dennis. He said, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost 20 years. Don't tell me how to get it. Glory. But I've seen preachers try to tell folks. I remember one guy leaned down and told this guy, I said, I'm going to pray for you. When I come back, I'm going to lay hands on you. When I do, say this. And he told him some words to say. And he ran off, and the guy come running back, and he said, in the name of Jesus. And the guy said, I forgot what you told me to say. We don't need that. We need the reality of the power of God. We need God to move. We need God to change lives, change theology. I'm going to close just a moment. The Spirit of God is real. We need it. We need that anointing, that fire. Listen, Matthew 5 and 6 said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 7 and 7.
Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, ye shall find. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Glory. If we really get hungry for God, God will feel that hunger in us. But you see, the problem is we're hungry for everything else but God. We're hungry for power, but not the power of God. We're hungry for a blessing, but not really the power of God. We're seeking financial things. We're seeking healings. We're seeking other things. But if we'll go for God, that's what the Bible's always said, do seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and everything else will take care of itself. When we get hungry enough that nothing will make us happy but God. I don't care if I'm broke. I want God. I don't care if I die. I want to die knowing I know God in the power, the grace, the glory of his anointing. Hunger will drive you when nothing else will. We need to get hungry for the anointing of God. We need to get hungry for the outpouring of his spirit. We need to get hungry for his move and his grace. And I got saved, my life was messed up. God saved me. Man, in a month's time, I went through a transition whirlwind from a drug addict alcoholic to a preacher. 1 month's time. Well, a month and a couple of weeks. A week. I got saved on February 3rd. I got filled with the Holy Ghost on March the 3rd. I admitted I was called to preach on the 10th. Glory. That spring, I preached my first revival. During that year, I preached 15 revivals, and in 1975, I went full-time to ministry. God opened doors, but I got hungry. I had no choice. I had no life. When they started telling me there was something that could really make a change in me, I got hungry for it. I didn't want to give up till I got God in my life. Before I got saved, I didn't sleep much. I stayed up all the time. I took things to keep me awake and things to keep me going. And I worked all night, went to school in the daytime, and worked all night, went to school in the daytime. I mean, I'd sleep for an hour or two and then go play basketball all afternoon, get dressed, and go back to work. I thought that was life. I got saved. All of a sudden, I find myself doing other things instead of going and playing basketball every afternoon and taking drugs. I'm going down behind the barn and I'm praying and I'm getting hungry for God. I don't want to see God do something in my life. And everybody around me keeps saying, he can do this, he can do this, he can do this. And I'm trying to find that place they keep talking about. And I'll never forget, we went to the Cody Church of God. I've been in revival all week praying for God to fill me with the Holy Ghost to touch me, and nothing happened. Everybody I could think of laid hands on me. They shook me, they turned me around, they twisted me. One dude towed me around the church. Woo! I love him. He meant well, but he about half killed me. I went to the Cody Church of God. Those of you know where that's at. That's not a problem. Most people in Alabama don't know where Cody is. It's in the middle of nowhere outside the Belt community. A little country church. It was a carload of us went up there that night. When I say a carload, there was seven of us in a regular car. That's a carload. We were packed like sardines and loved every minute of it. We got to that church and that building was packed. Preacher was preaching. I'd never met the man before in my life. All of a sudden he stepped out and he said, somebody's been talking to God today. And if you're hungry enough, if you'll walk out, by the time you reach the front of this church, nobody will touch you, but God will fall in your life. I could take you to the pew where I made that third pew and the Holy Ghost hit me. I don't remember a whole lot the rest of that service. They said I wallowed in the floor and shouted and danced, and I don't know what else I'd done. They laughed. They thought it was the funniest thing ever happened. They didn't like riding home with me, though, because I kept turning loose the steering wheel and having church. And I mean, you know, they'd, oh, God, oh, oh, you know, oh, God. But something hit me that night that changed me. And when that happened, I got hungry for God like I've never been. You said, oh, that didn't satisfy. No, 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 no. It's like a good plate of food. Once you've eaten, you can't wait till you get back to that restaurant to get another load. And I want to tell you tonight, that's where we're missing in the church of God. Oh, I've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. On my way to heaven. moment, then you just got started. It's time to get hungry, saying, God, one more time, fall on me, change me, take me somewhere I've never been. Let the power of your love move in me. Have you ever noticed hungry people inspire other people? Huh? There's a reason all my friends are big. We inspired one another. We get done by something we eat, and next thing you know, we're all looking for a restaurant. Because we were hungry. You get hungry, you'll inspire other people to get hungry for what God has. Come on, church. Some of y'all think, well, wait, preacher, you're being stupid. You ever notice you sit down and start talking about something, everybody wants to try it? You get so hungry for God, all you can talk about what he's doing in you. Folks around you don't know what you're talking about are going to get hungry to see what it is that's happening. And stand with me all over the house. I want you to raise your hand and say, God, fall on us. Cornelius had gotten so hungry for God, he sent to Jerusalem for a preacher, and he said, we just want a move of God. We just want God to touch us and minister to us. And Peter showed up, and while he was speaking, God impacted their lives. God fell on them. God filled them with the anointing of his fire. I don't know about you, church, but I feel the Holy Ghost flowing in this building tonight. I feel God getting ready to fall on somebody. And I believe if you get hungry enough, God's going to pour something in you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah.